Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello again, and welcome to Crime and Music. I'm your host, Brian J. Kinsley, and with me as always, my friend Ben Rubin.
You see that bus, Brian? Because I'm about to throw you under it right now, pal.
Oh, no! What are you going to do?
So Brian gets a beer. I don't know, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe this is, you know, this is a good thing. He's like, I really don't even want to drink a beer right now, but I feel like we need that noise. This is for the audience. This is for our audience. This is for our fans.
You, the listeners, the people.
The listeners.
Much like this podcast is for you, the people, every other week, Ben and I will bring you a true crime podcast about people in and around the music business and their misadventures and law breaking. If that's something you find enjoyable, thank you for listening. Share with a friend. Tell everybody you know. Go to the social medias. Give us a thumbs up. I would like some emoji comments.
Did you build your own emoji?
You can build your own emoji?
I built my own, like, looks like me emoji guy.
Oh, you're a moda person. There's a name for it. I don't know.
I wanted to get one with a headband, a sweatband, but they don't have that accessory.
Not yet.
No.
Coming in the future.
Put that in there, people, whoever you are.
Long story short, use your things to do stuff, guys. Reach out. Crime and Music everywhere. You get podcasts or social medias and... let us know what you're thinking. Let us know if you enjoy the show. Let us know you're doing okay in the time of COVIDs. We want to hear from you guys. Make sure everyone's feeling good.
Yeah, so I have been wearing a headband quite a bit to keep my hair out of my eyes because I'm growing it out. I think we talked about this on our last cast.
Yes.
Just to let everybody know, I don't know if you've gone to our website and checked us out. We're just two pasty white dudes. Whatever. I mean.
Don't blow the magic, dude.
Whatever. I don't know if you can tell from our voices, but... I put that headband on, and I've had multiple people say that I look like Rasheed Wallace.
Oh, wow.
Of Pistons fame.
All yeah. right. Well, yeah. You got a wicked beard going on right now.
Yeah, he kind of had some beard stuff and whatever. I mean, I'm a tall dude.
My goal is once I get under 200 pounds, I'm going to shave this beard. So basically, I'm going to have this beard for the rest of my life.
Whatever, Santa.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're in it. Are you ready for another exciting episode of Crime Music featuring Ben's favorite game?
Yeah.
Guess a guest.
I'm ready. And hey, I got the last one right on the YMCA.
You did. You nailed it.
Yeah, I mean, I would never have known those guys' names, but there was one little hint. That's all it takes.
That's all it takes, everybody. So you two can play along at home right now. Guess the guest. We're really lowering our music. I listen to you people who say our music is too loud in the background.
What?
Exactly. Guess the guest.
All right, let's start. Hold on. Do I know this person?
Absolutely.
Okay. I got a chance.
He was criticized by record executives as being too country.
Wow. I want to guess all the ones we've already done.
That's what I did too. I'm like, damn, nope, did that, nope, did that,
too
nope.
Country.
That,
Hank too Williams country. Jr.?
No, incorrect.
Hey, he was rock.
His first band he was in was called the Trawick Brothers.
Trawick Brothers.
Yes. Oh, maybe a spark there.
No. Okay. Keep going. Too. Can you be too country?
He played the Gatling gun operator in the movie Young Guns. Oh,
keep
you're
going. No, no.
Yeah, you're on it now because you're like, I know this. Factor.
Billy Ray Cyrus?
No.
No. Okay.
Some called him Randy Bruce Trawick.
I think it's Randy.
Everybody else called him Randy Ray. You're like, oh my god, is that
Gatlin? Yeah.
Don't you remember Young Guns? Arkansas Dave, baby, come on.
All right, no, you're gonna say it, and I'm like, oh my god, I know, it's in my head.
Gatlin
Brothers?
He was in the Trawick Brothers.
Trawick Brothers.
Randy Bruce Trawick is his birth name.
Randy Travis.
Yes, you are correct.
I was trying to go through all my Randys.
He did it.
Do I make you Randy, baby?
Another Ric Flair woo for you. You deserve that one. It is Randy Travis. Born May 4th, 1959. Randy Bruce Trawick in Marshville, North Carolina.
All right. I'd like to just I'm going to throw this out there. I don't say if I'm right or wrong. He doesn't have a ton of terrible stuff he did, and I believe, because he seems kind of like a nice dude.
He is a nice dude.
But I feel like there's going to be some alcohol in this story.
I think you may have heard some of this story before, because that's basically what happens.
Proceed.
And we'll get there.
Proceed.
All right. Randy Bruce Trawick, May 4th, 1959. Born to parents Harold Trawick, his dad, and Bobby Tucker, his mom.
Bobby Tucker Trawick?
Yes. I mean, Bobby, you know how we did that Bobby Knee Tucker, where it's like, that's her maiden name.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Marshville. Let's talk about Marshville, North Carolina for a second. You ever been to Marshville?
No, it sounds moist.
It does sound damp, right? Yeah. You're like, I should bring hip boots.
Moist.
Marshville is a town in Union County, North Carolina, United States of America. Its population was 2,402 people at the 2010 census. According to the United States Census Bureau, the town has a total area of 2.1 square miles.
Are you going to get the new census numbers when they get them published?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, yeah, because I filled out my census form.
So we did ours a couple times.
Yes. What do you mean a couple times?
I don't know. The median age is 34 years old. For every 100 females, there's 88.6 males. For every 100 females age 18 and over, there were 81 males. So...
there's
fellas,
some numbers you don't need.
Yep. No, well, fellas go to, it's like when I went to Central Michigan University, it was 5-1 girls to guys. That's the place to be. If
there were
like
five
girls
for every one dude.
Yep.
And we still.
Yep. Yes. The odds were in our favor. Denied.
I don't think the odds were ever in our favor, Brian.
We were not well received.
And the one girl that did come knocking at the door, we slammed the door in her face.
Yes. Kapoor. The median income for a household in the town of Marshville is $36,000. The annual median income for a family in that town is $42,000. So we are not living big in Marshville.
Not living high on the hog.
I don't think there's hogs to be high on. Sorry, Michelle. Marshville is the site of the Boll Weevil Festival, an annual street fair and carnival. It takes place every year in the fall.
Okay. Hey, you hear that cheeseburger, the Caseville Cheeseburger Festival got canceled?
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man,
cherry
right.
Festival,
dude,
out.
Well,
out. Yeah, gone. It's burned.
Speaking of burning, I think I'm right here. Parts of the 1985 Oscar-nominated movie *The Color Purple* were filmed in Marshville.
I feel like they burned down
somebody's house.
Was that with Oprah?
Yes, it was with Oprah.
All right,
good one. See, look at that. You know stuff.
Oprah.
Notable people from Marshville, North Carolina. Randy Travis. No, and Casey and JoJo. Do you know who they are?
I know.
They're R&B singers. They're members of the group Jodeci.
Okay.
Two different sets of brothers from Charlotte, North Carolina. And after years, they're like, oh, we're not doing that good. And the other groups are like, we're not doing that good. So they joined forces and
became Jodeci. Those are dudes?
Yeah. Billboard Hot 100 single, Come and Talk to Me.
All right. No.
Come and talk to me, baby. Different song.
You're talking above my pay grade there, bro.
There you go.
Yeah.
Randy Ray is the second of six children.
Okay.
His mom, Bobby, is a textile factory worker, and his dad, Harold, was a turkey and cattle farmer, a substitute teacher. He ran a meat route. He was a horse breeder. A quote from Randy Ray on his dad and horses, quote, my daddy can make a horse do just about anything you could ever expect to see a horse do, and some things you couldn't.
That could be taken the wrong way.
That's why I put the quote in there. And he owned a construction business, Trawick Construction, General Contractors, North Carolina.
Is he, in an odd way, a half-brother of Sarah Jessica Parker?
Maybe.
Miss Parker. So nice of you to join.
Now she's running away. Why do you do that every time?
Well, somebody else had a little sugar cube.
Randy Ray and his brother Ricky were raised to respect recording artists and really rallied to refine their raunchous rhythm recitations.
I can't believe you did that without having to do like five takes.
I did those all last night. So basically, their father really wanted them to pursue their musical talents, so he encouraged them to practice a lot.
Yeah.
He was a big fan of Hank Williams and George Jones and Lefty Frizzell.
Okay.
Episode pending. 1967, at the age of eight, Randy Ray begins playing the guitar and singing in his Church of Christ choir. 2 years later, He and his brother began performing at local clubs and talent contests, calling themselves the Trawick Brothers.
Another one of these kids that got brought up through the churches.
Church singing system, yeah. Man. It's a fruitful proving ground.
Yeah, sure. That's where a lot of singing happens on a very basic. I mean, everybody's doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Practice at all sorts of levels.
And they can't kick you out of the band. It's a church.
Both of the brothers did have a wild streak, so maybe they could get kicked out, which resulted in Ricky going to jail.
Oh.
He got in a car chase, and Randy Ray ran off to Charlotte at the age of 16. This was a contributing factor to Randy Ray dropping out of high school. He later becomes a juvenile delinquent, not that much later, and he was arrested for various offenses, including auto theft and burglary.
Okay, we got a little crime early on in this one. I like that.
There
all
you
right.
go. Stay in school, kids.
Yeah.
While
or not, because there's Zoom.
Well,
yeah,
that's
we
true.
Google
Stay in
Meets.
Zoom, kids.
In Zoom.
While his brother's serving time in jail for a high-speed car chase, Randy Ray won a talent contest at a nightclub.
Them darn Duke boys.
He was at the Country City USA, a nightclub, in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's a honky-tonk owned by this lady, Lib Hatcher.
Hey, you know what we drove by the other day? Diamondback Saloon.
Yeah.
I think it's still a thing. I mean, not now, but...
We went to Diamond Steakhouse. Is that the same place? Where were you?
No, it's on 96 or 94. What am I thinking?
94.
So if
you're
going
96.
From here to the airport.
Oh, 94.
Yeah, and there's a Diamondback Saloon on the south side of the road. Big yellow awning.
Huh.
You don't remember that?
I mean, I remember it, but I haven't been there. There's a steakhouse around here up in Brighton called Diamonds, and it's just very much the same thing. And I'm like, is that the same place? Oh, it's not what I'm thinking of, though. Well, Diamondback,
this is an old honky-tonk sort of country bar.
There you go.
A lot of line dancing going on.
We got both kinds.
You know, a lot of people with a pair of boots that they bought for going to the Diamondback Saloon.
My feet hurt. Okay, so he's at Country City, USA, and this lady, Lib Hatcher, you're supposed to go Lib, huh? And I go, yeah, her real name's Elizabeth. They just call her Lib.
Okay.
Like, how do you get Lib out of Elizabeth? I'm like, I don't know.
Ad Lib.
Oh, nice. She's listed as, quote, an American artist. She meets Randy Ray when he's 17 and she's 37. So needless
wow,
okay.
to say. is there some amorous activity coming up here?
Lib was impressed by Randy Ray and offered him a regular gig at her bar as well as a job as a cook.
And another job.
Like,
gave
hey,
him a couple jobs.
I really like the way you sing.
You got like to mouth. Offer you a job.
She took an interest in the young singer. Let's just say that.
Cougar.
In the late 1970s, Randy Ray is working and singing at Country City, USA. In his late teens, Randy Ray has one more encounter with the law. At his hearing, the judge tells him that if he ever sees Randy back in this court again, he should be prepared to go to jail for a long time. Long time
trying to scare the young man straight at an early age.
It seems like it worked because Randy Ray is released into the guardianship of Lib, who's also coincidentally become his manager, and the two begin to focus full time on his music career.
Oh, okay. Oh, there's nothing amorous here yet.
Not yet. Not in these cards, buddy. This is all above board so far.
Okay.
Just a nice 30-some-year-old lady taking a young
17-year-old
boy under her wing as a guardianship.
Okay.
And so 1978, he begins recording for Paula Records. His first single with the label is called Dreamin'. It's released in April 78. It was not well received.
I just want to go and say that I want to acknowledge, I think there's a double standard in our... I mean,
oh, okay.
We're talking about this. Two dudes, just, you know, whatever. Some 40-some-year-old dudes, whatever we are.
30, yep. Oh, yeah, yeah. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
And we're just both kind of like giggling, like, oh, a 17-year-old boy, a 30, you know, older lady. Yeah, cool.
You're going to flip it now on me?
Yeah. Way to go. What kind of jobs are you getting? But if it was a young woman, like a young 17-year-old girl.
That's wrong.
Like, sick. Sicko. That guy should be dragged out in the streets and shot.
Yep.
I acknowledge it. I can't do a lot about it.
Oh, one thing I do know is that Epstein did not kill himself. Anyway, continue.
No, I'm just saying, I would like...
Right?
If we're giggling about this like two idiots...
Oh,
it's
total double standard.
Basically because we're idiots.
100% double standard. Yeah. It's actually probably pretty traumatic, and I don't want... I'm glad I was not... molested by a teacher in high school.
Well, I don't know.
You say that, but we've had this before on other people too, like Rick James or James Brown or one of those guys is like, yeah, I'm not traumatized.
Well,
or
if
whatever.
You were younger,
like,
but if you were 17.
Still, man, if I'm 17, I'm going to go after like 17-year-olds. I'm not looking at some 37-year-old lady.
I think if there was a hot teacher in your school and you went to your buddies and said, you whether it happened or not, and said you did anything, you'd get some high fives.
You'd get some high fives.
I don't think those same high fives are being given amongst women when they tell them that some teacher did.
Also, from my perspective, when I was in grade school, I don't remember having hot teachers.
Well, this is not grade school. This is high school.
Oh, high school. Let me rephrase. When I was in high school, I don't remember having hot teachers.
You had one.
One.
Yeah. That's all it needs. That's all it takes.
I stand corrected. You're right. It's just the one.
We had a couple student teachers come through. I mean, they're not much older than us at that age. In that area.
The thing that baffled me is that when I was in college, everyone I met, like every super attractive girl, was going to be a teacher. I'm like, what? Where were you when I was in high school, grade school? Like, I would have paid more attention.
Yeah.
Bunch of old dudes with mustaches just droning on. Whatever, man.
I got a mustache, Brian. Would you like me to drone on for you?
I got a dance group you can join.
All
right. 1978. Music, that record Dreamin', was the first single. Dreamin' was not well received. It didn't even like make the charts. That's how bad it was.
Well, gotta crawl before you can walk.
Well, let's see if the second outing goes better. September 1978, so we got a little bit farther down the road. The second single, "She's My Woman," is released.
Okay, how'd I do?
That spends 4 weeks at the Billboard Hot Country Singles Chart, peaking at 91.
That great.
We cracked the top 100.
Well, okay. It's a step in the right direction.
And more steps in, I don't know if it's the right direction, but Randy Ray moves in with Lib and her husband.
Well, the plot thickens.
This puts further strain on their already fragile marriage.
Yeah, I bet it does.
I don't know why. Well, he's a boarder. He pays us $2 in rent and works at the restaurant.
I got a lot of jobs for him.
1982, she eventually leaves her husband, and she and Randy Ray moved to Nashville, Tennessee. She manages the Nashville Palace nightclub, and Randy Ray gets a job singing and cooking.
Okay.
During this time, an unlikely romance begins between the two. That's why I kept that word in there.
All right.
Unlikely, huh? Really? Didn't seem like a plan from the beginning?
Sounds like this is going exactly as you planned.
Randy Ray's got a quote about it. Quote, "I think we discovered how much we needed each other."
Or it.
Well, during the early 1980s, Randy Ray was rejected by every major record label in Nashville, not once, but twice.
Well, he's not giving up. This is the spirit that beat the Japanese, Brian.
His early demo tapes were the ones criticized by record executives as being too country. I mean, you're country, but you're like a little too country. I want country, but I'm not like that much country.
Today's country is not too country, is it?
Today's country is 80s pop.
Or some of it's rap.
Some of it's country and rap. It's crap. Yes, I agree.
I like some of it.
Come on, do the two-step and cowboy boogie.
I still can't get over Garth Brooks coming back as strong as he did. I can't figure it out.
Take it to the left now and dip with it and go round and hip with lean back.
You're about ready to punch. Anybody right. would like to unsubscribe right now?
No,
please leave a comment.
Is.
That is because Brian knew that whole song.
Oh, man. All right.
All right. I like that song.
Within a couple years, the pair independently releases his debut album under the name Randy Ray.
Randy Ray.
I'm Randy Ray, everybody, and I like writing rhymes and writing. I don't even know. The record was called, writing records. The record was called Randy Ray Live, and it was sold primarily in the Nashville Palace Bar. Apparently, they had a table.
The Palace Ballroom. Okay.
Go buy tape. I got a lot of tapes.
Oh, it was tapes, wasn't it?
It probably was tape. 1980, so yeah, it was a tape. 1985, thanks to Lib's persistent efforts and the Randy Ray Live album, Warner Brothers is like, dude, let's get you an offer. I think you're ready to come up. So
you're just about the right amount of country.
Just
what we're looking for.
You got it figured out now. As part of the contract, label executives insist that they keep the romance between Lib and Randy Ray a secret, and he changes stage name to Randy Travis.
Well, I think if you're a young person, boy or girl,
this
and you're coming up
what
in,
they did, right.
You don't want, you want to be viewed as available.
They told Elvis that he was single, and he's like, no, I got the Lisa Marie or whoever.
Yeah,
the,
you don't want
Priscilla. No, that's
any. You want people buying your albums using their using the brain in their pants.
No, right. Well, it's like I was watching some show. This guy's trying to be a rapper, and he's like, "I'm telling you, 12-year-old girls are gonna love me. They're gonna want to marry me. I'm not gonna marry them because that would be wrong and sick, but." They're going to want to. They're going to be like, I like that guy, and he's attainable, and so I want to be about it. And so that was, like, part of his pitch to the record company. Like, people like me and want to, you know, women want me and men want to be like me, that sort of old adage.
Dude,
and stuff. And if you can sell it.
I can score with 12-year-old girls all day long. I'm not going to do it. I'm just saying, I could if I wanted. I don't want to.
Get your record deal, buddy. That's
kind of a big deal.
That's what they're saying. So that's what they're telling Randy Ray. They're like, look, buddy, you got to keep it a secret and. Randy Ray is a dumb name, and Randy Trawick is not famous, so we're going to call you Trawick, Travis, Randy Travis. You have two first names now.
Yeah, and welcome everybody can spell it.
Welcome to the club. Quote, on the other hand, unquote, is his first single for that label. On the other hand. On the other hand is his first single for the label of Warner Brothers. It's released and climbed to number 67.
Okay, still doing better.
Not well received, though. They consider that not. A success.
It's not
despite its lackluster performance, radio programmers liked Randy, though, and so his next single, 1982, which came out in 1986.
Now this dude's just a
becomes a top 10 hit.
He's a tall beanstalk, kind of a long face, right? Am I thinking of the right guy?
Yes,
tall,
and no. I got him confused with hair. I got him. Nah, that's him. But I also got him confused with Chris Isaac. So don't do that.
There's a bit of an overlap in my brain on them,
yep,
too.
Yep. What a wicked thing you say. And
dude, that video, I'm just saying.
Fall in love.
I don't know.
Half the night last night, I'm writing these cards. I'm like, no, that's not the guy. That's the other guy.
I know that's not Randy Travis.
No,
but
it's
they
not.
They do look a lot. I think they look
very much similar.
At least that video of. Of that, okay.
And somehow, right. I think that gets us to Jessica Parker with that guy. I could be wrong, but is that not Chris Isaacs attached to her in a way?
Maybe there's...
1986. Oh, did you hear the part about his single, 1982, becomes a top 10 hit?
No. Oh, okay. Yeah, he got a big one.
Boom, he's on there. 1982, okay. Which comes out in 1986. Anyway. 1986, Warner Brothers re-releases that song On the Other Hand, and the re-release becomes Travis's first number one single.
Oh, they just re-released it.
Well, repack. I mean, you know, think about that. They're like, you're selling it out of a bar. We have a much bigger distribution network. I feel like we can promote it a little more.
We can get this thing to catch fire.
Right.
Okay.
So
okay.
December 1986, Randy Ray becomes a member of the Grand Ole Opry.
Wow, he didn't even have to go through that, what's that, hay wagon?
Louisiana hay ride.
Hay wagon ride?
That's all. What is that, the Lusitania hay bucket? What's that, spittoon? What are you?
Is that straw or hay you got up there?
What, grass and straw and hay, live on a barn, get all three? What the hell is that saying?
Exactly, that's it. Nailed it.
About as good as they do. All right, so he's in the Grand Ole Opry now. He did it. He didn't have to go through the hayride. 1987, the songs that were included on his major label debut are Storms of Life, which produced another number one country single, Digging Up Bones.
I know that song.
Digging Up Bones. No Place Like Home.
Don't know that song.
No Place Like Home. There's No Place Like Home.
That's how it probably goes.
Which held the number two position on the Billboard Country Charts. So he's a one and two and one and two.
Yeah,
everything's
landing.
April 87, Randy Ray's second album for Warner Brothers is called Always and Forever. And it's accounted for 14 singles. For four singles. That's not 14 singles. It accounted for four singles, all of which hit number one on Billboard. Forever and Ever Amen, most popular song. Forever Ever Amen. I Won't Need You Anymore. Too Gone Too Long. And I Told You So.
Okay.
Forever and Ever Amen held the top position for 3 weeks.
This was in the mid 80s?
87.
Okay, so mid to late 80s. I used to help my dad back then. Like, in the summer especially.
Trawick Construction.
He would go out. He was a, you know, kind of a home remodeler dude, builder guy, jack of all trades. And we'd go to houses and put like a new kitchen counter in or new tubs or whatever. And I just helped my dad, and we'd listen to some country station. And I remember hearing these songs back then, you know, a lot of that this and whatever, George Jones, and just listen, and it'd be on the background. And Paul Harvey would come on.
Oh,
and
yeah?
The Paul Harvey show would come on. And that's, you know, and then after Paul Harvey, I'd go right back to this.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Paul Harvey.
Paul
what
Harvey.
Was his, what was his thing? Good night.
And that's the rest of the story.
He said, yeah, and that, but I think at the end he did the rest of the story. It was a bit sidebar from a show, I think.
I don't remember. That was a little before I was paying attention to that stuff.
Or something. All right. Well, maybe that's something that our listeners can fill us in on.
Good night and good luck. Hit us up on all the social medias, Crime and Music. 1987, Always and Forever wins Randy Ray his first Grammy for Best Male Country Vocal Performance.
So I wonder what happened to his brother.
Ricky?
Yeah.
He's in jail.
Still?
I don't know. It's life of crime, revisitism. I'm sure
probably
that's what happens.
Probably his brothers just hand him some money every once in a while.
Possibly.
Yeah.
July 1988. Old 8x10, his third album, is released.
8x10.
That's what he called it. It's got three singles on there. Honky Tonk Moon, Deeper Than a Holler, and Is It Still Over?
What's 8x10 refer to? Do you know?
8x10. I did not say. I
assume. It's not a 2x4.
Old 8x10. Isn't that a room? 8x10. What, do you want to play some dodgeball in here?
That's not big enough for dodgeball. You know that.
Two U's, two me's.
It's not nearly big enough for dodgeball. It's not even big enough for squash.
You wanna play some racquetball in here?
I think you play chess.
8x10?
8x10 row.
Anyway. Randy Ray wins his second. Oh, I'm sorry. All of those songs, Honky Tonk Moon, Deeper Than a Holler, and Is It Still Over, all reach number one. Randy Ray wins his second Grammy.
He's everything on the number one chart. It just gets taken over by the next Randy Travis song.
And pretty much he's outdoing himself.
Okay.
He wins Grammy for Best Country Vocal Performance on this album. 1990, two more singles are released from No Holding Back. That's another thing. It's
And his girlfriend's got to be like 55 by now.
Well, we'll get there. Hard Rock Bottom of Your Heart, which became Travis's longest lasting number one single at 4 weeks.
Do you think she was collecting her Medicare or her
Social Security? Yeah, possibly. And He Walked on Water, which peaked at number three.
Okay. And he's going down.
Yep. And since we had a little dip, we're going to take a little break right here, too. And when we come back, we're going to talk more Randy Travis.
Can
everybody.
You just lead us into break with singing the rest of that song? I got a little too. I drank around boogie and boogie, boogie, boogie.
No.
No.
But equally,
that's a hard no.
Equally bad singing, My High School Band, 21 Days. This is recorded in our rhythm guitar player's backyard.
Who was that?
Paul.
Paul was a good guy. Oh, hit the thing with my...
He's a real good guy.
Yeah.
This is not the edited clip I thought it was.
Fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Did this get him all the late?
Oh, yeah, actually it did. That's the worst part about it. How was your break?
Awesome.
What'd you do?
I read a text from my buddy. He's back with his old girlfriend.
Are we happy about this?
He knows he's not.
Is he a listener? Does he know? Is this
no,
happen?
He's not.
Oh, okay.
He's not
go.
As much in love with her as I think he's
the
in love
idea of her
with it.
Oh well, there's that too. I mean,
well, even when he started going out there originally, he's like, "I'm gonna marry her. I hate myself for it. I'm gonna marry her." But I'm just too damn selfish. I can't marry anybody, and they because he knows he's selfish.
All right. Well,
and they're back.
I guess they are. With that, let's pick up in 1991. Our buddy Randy Ray, he and Lib come forward with their relationship, and they're married in a private ceremony.
Okay.
So they're finally out and proud about
this was
there.
The text.
That's the emojis I want from our listeners. Send me those.
And when I say they're back together.
Eggplant, peach, water drops.
Yeah.
What?
A lot of water drops in that text.
I don't even know what that means.
Bloop. It means bloop.
Oh, gotcha. Bloop. Randy Ray holds the top of the charts and begins to slip a little bit after Clint Black and especially Garth Brooks appear on the country music scene.
Yeah, Clint Black, I think, is a Randy Travis sort of vibe. I don't think Garth Brooks was, because Garth Brooks was kind of more of a, he had a lot of slower ballads, but he had some fun party songs too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Randy Travis had a lot of fun party songs.
There's not a lot of fun party songs.
But, and Clint Black, the same. You know, not a lot of...
No, I'm not a Clint Black
rock
guy.
Rock and rollin' fun party songs. Not like, you know, Garth Brooks, who I still can't believe. Whatever. Good for him. Good for him, man.
Well, nevertheless, Randy Ray never fell away completely. His albums continued to achieve gold status throughout the 90s. He's usually cracked the top 10 for most of his stuff. 1998, he wins his third Grammy for Best Country Collaboration. Actor Patrick Swayze contributed backing vocals on the track I Did My Part.
Huh.
That Patrick. Is not what he won a Grammy for. There's no confusion. Swayze does not have a Grammy. There were others on the album like Vince Gill, Alison Krauss, Melba Montgomery. So it's basically an album of duets.
I went to see Vince Gill.
Oh, yeah?
This dude, I didn't know the guy that well, but he said that there were some girls going.
That
and,
all you needed back in the day
like,
for
hey,
you.
Hey, you want to go see Vince Gill?
No. And the girls going, yeah, okay.
Well, it's worse than that. The girls were not, they were into me about as much as I was into them, all right? And the reason I wasn't into anybody and they weren't into me is because I thought I was going to a rock concert.
Oh,
I thought I was going
to
like a heavy metal concert.
Vince Gill. Yeah, no, Vince Neil. All right.
I might have gotten a couple people mixed up here. And all of a sudden, here I am. I'm like wearing a... Like an old
awesome.
Rush t-shirt or some crap, walking in there.
Leather like, studded bracelet on, no sleeves on a shirt. Ah!
They all got cowboy boots and vests and cowboy. Like, huh.
Come on, do the two-step.
Right, who's opening for this guy? Is it Garth Brooks? All right.
Ben's here for Motley Crue and Shania Twain. Do they not tour together?
I go see Shania. I know who she is.
I would totally go see Shania Twain. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Legs for days. You see those legs make a complete ass of themselves as they go up. It's amazing.
But
actually, Shania Twain has a thing about her legs, and I don't understand why. She's a lovely, attractive woman. Quit hiding your legs.
Huh.
Yeah, no, she had a thing in like People or something like that about it. Like, I'm always self-conscious.
Read a lot of People, do you?
When I'm waiting in line at the grocery store, yeah.
Can't touch that stuff. That's covering COVID.
Oh, God. What do I do now? Randy Ray's career, Randy Ray's career from 2000 onward is dominated by Christian country music.
Is that where he went?
Yeah, he switches over to like country and Christian gospel stuff.
I suppose if that's maybe where your heart's at and you know you're kind of on the decline, might as well, right?
He has received more Grammy Awards for his gospel albums than his country albums. And I've told you country album Grammys like 3 or 4 times now.
Yeah, well, okay. Well,
dude.
He was a big fish in a little pond.
Well, that's probably true.
Yeah.
That's true. Selected songs from the gospel albums also made their way onto a 2-part finale of TV's Touched by an Angel.
With Michael Landon.
Correct.
Yeah.
It featured Randy Ray in character. He's an actor now. He acts.
Oh.
I can act and sing.
Just like Chris Christopherson.
He's a dual threat. December 2002, speaking of duels, Randy Ray's most successful venture, that was referring to the twos in 2002, Randy's most successful venture in Christian country music was the song Three Wooden Crosses, which is super fucking depressing.
Okay.
It reached number one. Well, dude, he's like, driving on the highway, come to the intersection, semi-trucks don't stop as quick as you would reckon. You're like, oh God, what's happening? Like, the three of them were in the car, and then the car was one, and then the three of them and a tree all became undone. I'm like, what the fuck? So, yeah, you just described, there's three wooden crosses on that turnpike now. I'm like, what the hell? All
right, thanks. Bringing the whole entire mood down here, bro.
So it's not me. It's Randy Ray.
Well, you decided to invoke Randy Ray
I suppose
your
I did.
Podcast
the
here.
Chant of Randy Ray brings people down.
God, where's that?
So, the song was named Song of the Year by the Country Music Association in 2003 and in 2004.
Enough.
Well, it was enough. It won a Dove Award for the Gospel Music Association as Country Song of the Year also. So it people love the depressing Crosses by the Side of the Highway song.
Hey, I switched soap.
You like the Dove?
No, I tried the Dove. I went from...
no Dove.
I couldn't get my... when I was going shopping for soap, I couldn't get Dial. So there
not
was...
a sponsor.
I know I've had Dove at the house, and it's too perfumey.
Unscented.
Like a, smells like a grandmother.
I use unscented Dove bar soap because of my skin.
Smelling grandmothers.
That's a point of reference.
So
I was going to question you about how you had that. What's the range?
But then I got Irish Spring.
Oh.
I don't think we talked about this, did we?
No.
Yeah, Irish Spring. Do you remember those old commercials?
I was just thinking of those commercials.
They were like, kind of gave you, I mean, before you knew what a boner was, you kind of learned from maybe watching the Irish Spring commercials.
There was
the
a little
summer.
cheeky commercials,
you know,
I think.
You'd be watching The Price is Right, and they go to commercial, and there's an Irish Spring. There's some dude, like, showering in the woods, and some ladies come up on a horseback, and woo, woo.
Yep.
And the next thing you know, I don't know where he gets that buck knife at, but then he peels off a big hunk of soap.
Yep, carving off your soap. You don't have a knife in you in the shower?
Like I guess they're proving to the audience that it's not hollow. I don't know.
It's solid. Look at that.
And they're all speaking in, like, an Irish.
Well, the Irish accent.
Yeah. And then the whistle.
Oh, I love me Irish Spring. Ah, cha-cha-cha. Like Lucky Charms? I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend anyone. I don't know.
No, it's okay. The Irish apparently are like the last people we can make fun of without them getting offended.
It's the Italian. Me and Mario.
Oh, all right. Continue.
His name is Luigi.
So you got a Dove Award.
Of course it is. Yeah, you got a Dove Award for using good soap. The albums Rise and Shine and Worship and Faith earned Randy Ray his 4th and 5th Grammys in 2003 and 4, respectively.
Where is that lady at?
Lib?
Yeah.
She'll be here.
All right.
She's showing up.
I
she's
know more
she's
about
managing
that.
The club. He took home an award for Best Southern Country or Bluegrass Gospel Album in 2003 and 4. Man, he had a killer run in the gospel stuff there.
Man, he's got a big trophy case about at home.
His turn to Christian music was, quote, fruitful, producing a series of good heartfelt records, yet they also had a nice side of putting commercialism on the back burner, as gospel albums were made without charts in mind.
Well, I think, I don't know this, but I it sounds like this guy had hit the top, was at the top.
He was definitely at the top.
And maybe right before someone else was coming in to take that away from him, he was like, good.
Yep.
Thank you. Release me from that. I'm going to go do this. This is kind of where my heart's at. This is
where
I want to do this. This is what I'd like to do, and I don't need any more money. I don't need more fame. I got all the Grammys I can handle.
That's a pretty good move.
I'll go do this.
Honestly, if you're number one on the charts, and rather than just see a decline, which will happen, there's always going to be a new number one, he just took the side door over into the Christian songs. So it's like you went up and then left. You know, you're like, and I'm off to this side now. So I didn't decline. I went out on top, which is hard to do.
But it'd be interesting to look back at who were on the charts on the country or the Christian charts at the time.
Oh, yeah. No.
When all of a sudden, like, you know, you're like number two, almost maybe you're number one in the Christian charts. And then Randy frickin' Travis comes in and just like totally blows up your spot.
Can you imagine that? A bunch of Christian artists. Oh, God damn it, Randy Travis. What the?
Damn you, Randy.
Damn you to hell. October 29th, 2010, Randy Ray files for divorce after 19 years of marriage with his wife and manager, Lib, citing, quote, irreconcilable differences. Meaning, man, she's looking old.
Yeah, I was going to say, what? So they did get married, I guess. Did we not say that?
No, I said that.
Yeah, remember, okay. They didn't want to talk about it.
Right, it was hidden.
All right. So do they have any, like, kids and stuff, or was she already through menopause?
Whoa. September 26, 2011, Randy faints in the middle of a song at the Crystal Heart Gala. It's an annual benefit for the Hughley Memorial Medical Center in Fort Worth, Texas. And he's up there singing and playing.
The
and,
Hughleys?
Yes, for D.L. Hughley and his medical center. It, quote, Mr. Travis has been struggling with laryngitis that resulted from chronic allergies and had multiple over-the-counter allergy medicines, his doctor said.
And that messed up his cords?
I guess so, man.
Yeah, okay.
So he was on his tour bus. His vital signs were all stable, and he goes home to recover. So basically he just fainted Lovely. Ah, blank card. What do I do?
Well, I know at this point he's probably older than we are now, but I was
not as old as his wife.
I was out playing some baseball with the kid, and he was pitching to me. And so I'm kind of like, you know, catch. I'm behind the plate, and he's on the pitcher's mound. He's pitching, and I'm catching whatever.
You actually down in the squat?
Oh yeah, I'm down there. I'm doing
whoa,
the thing.
Good for you.
I don't dumb it. I can still ball, dude.
Been serious about ball.
Serious. I can left hand, right hand bat.
Just ball till you fall.
Need both the same badness. So, I got, you know, time to stand up. Every once in a while, you stand up. I stood up, and I got a little flush. I got a little dizzy. I'm like, whoa.
A little lightheaded? Standing up too quick?
Easy, big fella.
Whoa, there's a little fin up here. I mean, you're a tall fella. I'll give you that. But
yeah, I'm getting old.
Woo.
That blood.
Slow it down a little bit.
That old pumper's got to work a little harder.
That's hilarious.
Got a lot more mass to deal with.
Well, speaking of this in athletic events and ventures, February 5th, 2012, do you remember this?
February 5th, 2000. Is that
Super
Valentine's
Super
Day?
Bowl 46.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Bunch of old guys trying to get up too quick. The Giants and the Patriots. Remember what happened?
No.
Giants sneak past the Patriots with the 21-17 score. Madonna was a halftime show.
Yeah, they all running together for me. I don't know.
What? It's Super Bowl. I thought you were a sports fan. You're a baseball guy, I guess.
I'm not as much into the sports as I'm into my.
I feel like
football
COVID
throws fun.
Like COVID taught us that we can live without all sports except for MMA. So I'm good with that.
Baseball catch is good.
Did you watch any of those UFC fights they're putting on when there were no sports?
I caught a clip of.
You did? Even
no,
you? Oh, I was like,
oh,
wow.
Man, just on like on Facebook, it goes scroll.
Oh, yeah.
And it was without audience.
Yeah, that's what they were doing. They were doing 10,000 seat like arenas with no audience.
And you could hear the audio from the fight.
Yes.
And it made you appreciate what it sounds like when not even a solid hit gets thrown. It's a smack all the same.
That's what they said. They're like the most sort of not jarring, but the most noticeable thing was the sound of the impact.
Because they don't usually
of the combatants.
Yeah, they don't mic up a typical lob.
Well, you wouldn't hear it. Yeah,
you don't mic. Well, no, and when you're just in the training, you're training and you're in your gym or you're sparring or whatever, and you're hitting people and stuff.
Oh yeah,
you're not usually watching that back
no.
from a extremely mic'd up situation.
All mic'd out.
But they put that up, all the bells and whistles
oh,
and
yeah.
microphones and cameras without a crowd.
Yeah,
that crowd noise, and all of a sudden you're hearing like, and they're not even really hitting each other.
Yep.
Hard, like what you would consider hard
right.
in a fight like
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
But you can appreciate it's still pretty hard.
Oh yeah, dude. Oh yeah. And then one of the weird side effects from that too is some of the commentators are like current fighters and like some guys hold belts and they're champions. And they're doing their commentary like, you know what he should do is like go to the left, do a duck under and all that. And the fighters, because there's no crowd, can actually hear him. So they started listening to this one dude. This guy Daniel Cormier is like the heavyweight champion or whatever. And he's just like, yeah, no, what you need to do is duck. And the guy's like, all right, thanks, man. And, like, he's making adjustments in his fight from what the commentators are saying.
Well,
and he actually, the dudes and, like, women are winning because of that. They're like, yeah, he said go to this and do that. And so I did. And, hey, here we are, you know.
So in the same vein of our sports talk, somehow we've gotten off topic a little
bit. It's what we do. This is our niche.
Did you hear,
sidebar.
Did you hear what the NBA is doing?
No, not at all.
Dude, tell me this is not the coolest thing. If you're an NBA player, whatever. Okay, they're gonna play basketball games.
I'm tall fella.
They're gonna play some basketball games.
All right.
They're gonna go through a ton of screening before they play. Get
sure.
like multiple COVID tests, whatever.
Sure.
Them, their agents, their family, their teams.
They're super athletes,
they're fine. They're everybody. Everybody that would be associated with this basketball team, the doctors, the trainers, the coaches, everybody gets tested and screened and they stay like quarantined a little bit.
Yep.
And then they all go to Disney.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
They got the run of the Disney. Yeah. They all go there. They're going to play like 50, 60 games, whatever they're going to play. And they're all going to get their own hotel suites and rooms. They can tour all the park, all the animals.
Wow.
There's nobody at Disney right now.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they got all these high 4-star, 5-star restaurants they're eating at, playing golf, going fishing. There's some like other things. They can get boats and do things. This is,
dude.
And play a little basketball, whatever.
I guess.
It's an all-inclusive. They should film it. Like, not the basketball part.
The Disney part.
I want to see the behind the scenes of what these
Disney?
People are doing.
Right.
And I'm thinking about, I'm like, this would be awesome. I mean, maybe awesome. I would never go to Disney in a million years because of the crowds. But
right.
This way, I absolutely would.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They should make a bit of a, like, actually documented reality TV a little bit. Just show me the behind the scenes of what these people are doing and let me live through their eyes a little bit.
It would be fun.
Let me bring... I started thinking a little bit more. Basketball players...
We're in depth.
Basketball players are kind of known for womenizing.
Just a little...
Are they going to, like, ship some...
Wilt Chamberlain?
Some...
Into Disney?
Hotties with bodies in?
I think they might work at Disney already, like some of the show performers and whatnot.
Yeah, you're hired. Like, you're hired. You know, there's going to be some...
The wiki-watchy mermaids.
There's going to be some extra jobs you're going to have to do. A lot of jobs.
You're big on jobs today, aren't you?
So many jobs.
There's a visual. There's a couple. Oh, you did the thing. Ah,
that's a shake weight. That's a shake weight.
No,
Brian.
This is champagne. I'm really happy. Ah, just, you know, like they do in the NASCAR. Ah.
But that sounds cool. I keep hitting the mic stand with
well,
my glasses.
We were talking about the Super Bowl, and I brought that up because
Giants and Patriots. Madonna.
Giants, Patriots.
Right.
Yep. The Giants sneak past the Patriots, which doesn't really happen. Patriots are pretty much a dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
And so. February 6, 2012, Randy Ray, 52 years old, was found drinking an open bottle of wine in front of the Sanger Baptist Church in Sanger, Texas. He was arrested for public intoxication. And was booked at the Denton County Jail, where he received a misdemeanor citation before he was released a few hours later. A quote from Randy Ray says, quote, "I apologize for what resulted following an evening of celebrating the Super Bowl. I'm committed to being responsible and accountable and apologize for my actions."
He just gave a long-winded, my bad.
My bad.
My bad.
Giants beat the Patriots, man. I was in a parking lot, had a bottle of wine. Woo!
My bad.
You know, I'm sorry. My bad. There's video on the interwebs if you want to watch it. It's you can watch him get picked up for that. April 11, 2012, ex-wife and manager sues Randy Ray for severing their professional relationship, accusing him of breaching their managerial contract 5 months early. Like, all right, you can break a contract, but you're
a
little early.
She just wanted some more money.
Right.
I'm sure she did a lot of work. I'm sure she was integral.
Lib, his manager of 30 years, said, quote, "He had a large truck and armed guards and several other men show up at the office and remove practically all the property and business records from her custody."
Oh, well, I guess.
Hard separation.
That's a hard no.
Randy Ray insists there is no truth to the allegations, and he says, quote, "It is unfortunate that it has come to this. We believe the lawsuit lacks merit, and we have legal defense to her claims."
Poor lady. She probably doesn't even remember half the crap that happened.
What's happening? What's going on?
Come what? Over and pet my cat.
Who is the people with the truck? May 29, 1912. Well, let's try again.
That was a UPS truck, ma'am.
May 29th, 2012, Randy Ray files a counterclaim against Lib's lawsuit, insisting he owes nothing to her because she divulged personal and confidential information about him that damaged his reputation and harmed his career.
Did she say he had a little wiener?
I did not find anything that said that.
And his wiener is so tiny.
He also alleges Lib cheated on him by submitting reimbursement requests for first-class travel, expenses, and the camp that he had, his lawyers are like, that was intentional and reckless.
Because she wanted to make a couple extra grand.
There you go. Yeah. August 7, 2012, less than 6 months after his arrest for public intoxication, Randy Ray is busted in North Texas on suspicion of driving while intoxicated.
That's good.
After crashing his Trans Am in a construction zone.
The real crime is that he's driving a Trans Am.
That's why I went back and put in Trans Am, because it used to say car, and I found out it was a Trans Am. Like, you're Randy Travis, you're driving a Trans Am.
Night Rider was a big thing.
That's true. That's kind of, you're right. I stand corrected in 2012. He is found naked at the scene with blood alcohol twice the legal limit. He's laying in the middle of the street.
Naked after he crashed his car?
Trans Am, yes.
I've.
What?
I've driven drunk. I've driven drunk.
I've driven naked. I'll tell you that.
I've never driven naked.
I was drunk coming home from a party, and I decided to get naked. I will tell you that. I was drunk. I shouldn't have been driving.
What?
I don't know. It was hot.
What? That's the part I feel that I don't have any connect. I don't get why you get.
Like, you know what? It's hot in here. I'm hot. I'm sweaty. I'm going to get naked. So
I was walking around in just this pair of shorts last night and no shirt in my backyard.
There you go.
Kind of drunk.
Were you watering your lawn? Because that's the guy.
I was. I had a flashlight. I was looking for my cat. It was 1 a.m.
You're a meme. Oh, my God.
My cat got out. And I normally wouldn't give two shits. But there was a rabbit nest in our yard, and our cat isn't usually supposed to get out. But he did get out, and he killed one of the little baby bunnies.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm now chasing my cat around my freaking yard in my neighbor's backyard. And all I'm thinking is, if I saw me do this right now as one of my – I'm calling the cops.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and then my wife got home super late because she had a late meeting last night for work. And she actually got into the house while I was in the backyard, so I didn't see her get home. And then she's in the house, and I'm coming now around to the front yard with the flashlight.
Uh-oh.
And I open the garage door with the garage door opener out of my van. And then Sarah comes out the front door, and she's just like, what are you doing? Like, it's 1:30 in the morning at this point, 1 in the morning, whatever it was. And she's I'm there, no shirt on. I got my shorts on. I got my flip-flops on and a flashlight, just like shining it into the bushes and under the vehicles. I'm looking for the cat. She goes, and why? He got a baby bunny. Oh, okay.
I'm trying to find a cat.
Continue.
Yeah. Nope. I'm with you.
All right.
Well, much like yourself, Randy is out late at night, and he's not wearing much clothing. No clothing, to be specific.
All right.
Cops wheel up on him, and they try to arrest him. He takes off running.
Well, he's got that tiny little wiener flapping back and
forth. Well, what are you going to grab? Like a little golf clap. Smack him back and forth on his thighs. He takes off running, and you can actually hear it in the video. The cop's, is he running? And the other cop goes, ah, he's running. Mr. Travis, would you mind? I'll go get him. And the cops are super nice in this video. You can watch it all online. It's hilarious. I'm sorry, what's that, Mr. Travis? They get him in the car. He's like, I'm going to kill you. You're going to die in the rooms of hell.
I have seen that. I saw that.
The police officer's like, really, Mr. Travis? I'm going to die in the rings of hell? He's like, you don't understand the people I know. I know some mafioso tops. They're going to come get you.
And then he apologized the next day.
Oh, so, yeah. Like, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry. I was drunk.
So Randy is arrested for a DWI, a misdemeanor, and retaliation, a felony, because he was threatening and fighting the officers while naked. Not that the naked has to do with it, but just fighting officers.
It's got a lot to do with it, man.
Randy Ray also walked into a convenience store earlier that night, not wearing any clothes, and asking for cigarettes. So it's just like, ding, 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 ding. Hey, excuse me, do you have any cigarettes?
I don't get the naked thing.
Are you Randy Travis?
I don't get the naked thing.
Yes, and I'm having a Nick fit. I need some cigarettes, please.
All right, take these and leave.
You're going to have to go. Yeah, it says no shirt, no shoes, no service. Nothing about no pants. I don't even know what your own sign says. I'm Randy Travis. He's released after paying his $21,500 $21,500 bail.
That's how you say it.
That's how you say it. In his memoir, Randy Ray says that he didn't drink too much alcohol and was repeatedly reported that he only had 2 glasses of wine. He's like, I only drank 2 glasses of wine that were like this.
Yeah, right. I know, right?
Unfortunately, in an attempt to get some sleep, he also took an Ambien.
Those can fuck some people up.
There it is.
Everybody. You had some ish. Didn't you take one?
I didn't. Yeah. That set off an unfortunate chain of events.
Yeah. That's weird.
It's like, you don't, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, you're not awake, but you're not dreaming. Like, I don't know. It's like you're in this gray zone of consciousness. Like, this can't be real. I'm going to take my clothes off because this
Maybe
isn't real.
Maybe that explains everything.
It really might. There's a bunch of Ambien stories, man.
You gave me a sleeping pill when I went to Australia.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For the plane. You know, like, try to sleep.
Yeah.
It's a long plane
ride. Circadian rhythms, get in the zone.
So on the way there, I didn't need to. I just slept. I could sleep on a plane really, you know, just kind of like, boom, sleep.
There you go.
And that was a short plane ride, really. But on the way back, I'm like, screw this. You know, time changes were extreme one way and not as extreme the other.
Makes sense.
You go out, you have math. I'm not doing that here. So I popped that sleeping pill. It kept me wide awake.
That's what I was just going
to
say.
I was just like, go to sleep. The whole time couldn't go to sleep.
It's just those generic little blue, like, sleep aids that you get at Meijer. But, like, one of them, wide awake.
Made me all jittery.
Two of them, sleepy. Three of them, wide awake. Four of them, you're dead. So you just got to really be careful on that, what you're doing.
Don't
but that's,
take far.
Right. There's a whole thing with, like, anesthetization, I guess would be the word, right? Like, controlling your consciousness. Nobody knows what they're doing, man. Like, you're just shutting off your brain. Like, what parts and what chemicals are doing what? And who knows? So he's on an Ambien, and he flipped out. And
a couple glasses
like,
of wine.
I don't even
Ambien.
Know. Right.
Couldn't find his drawers anywhere.
Yep.
All right.
Rogan has a great bit on it, if you ever see Joe Rogan's bit, talking about, like, he was in a hotel and the fire alarms went off, so they evacuated the hotel. And he's like, you could see this select group of people that were just, like, in this daze. And he's like, I didn't figure it out till, like, weeks later. Like, oh, these are people taking sleep aids and Ambien and stuff like that. They're just,
yeah.
like, walking around, like,
especially
like,
in a hotel.
Like, their eyes were open, but they were still sleeping. And so.
I remember waking my brother up. When he was still asleep, he'd be kind of walking around the house, but he's still, I mean, his eyes are open.
Sleepwalker.
Yeah. So you had to wake him up slow.
You just slap him in the face. Get up, Nick.
Now he just gets up swinging if you do it.
Sucker punch. Don't go wake him up. He's got a gun with him.
He'll hit you in the nut.
Just the one. July 7th,
2000.
That's all you need. It's true. I have protected myself by tucking my three piece between my legs. Your nut shots are not viable on me anymore. July 7th, 2013, Randy Ray's admitted to Dallas Hospital for viral cardiomyopathy.
Unless I'm behind you.
Hoof is a hoof. On July 10th, Randy Ray suffers a stroke. 5 days later, he underwent successful brain surgery. Afterward, he enters physical therapy, but the stroke left him without the ability to speak or sing.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as that goes, that'd be the worst thing for you, right? One up in me. Thanks, buddy. October 16, 2016, after 3 years of therapy and rehabilitation, Randy Ray surprises fans when he appears at his induction to the Country Music Hall of Fame. He goes out and he walks on stage by himself, briefly says a statement, and sings Amazing Grace.
Wow.
Then he leaves.
All right.
Amazing Grace, who is the chick? Why do we say your name before we eat? And I'm out of here. 2015, he releases a compilation album, on the other hand, all the number ones. So, literally,
just put
all the number ones. Yeah. As you can imagine, it was really well received.
Well, how many people in this world could ever do that? What do you got, like the Beatles, maybe? Elvis? Michael Jackson?
There's a handful.
Madonna?
Yeah, just all number one songs.
Randy Travis? Garth Brooks? Still can't figure it out.
Let's see here. It even returned him to the country music album charts in 2017, 2 years after its initial release. So it stuck around for a while, this record of number ones.
Well, I wonder if that's when, you said 2017?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, iTunes put a blip on a few weird radars.
Oh, for sure. It changed the game.
When all of a sudden you can go get some good old music again, because you couldn't find some stuff at the store, but it's on. Then you put it on the iTunes. One movie comes out, next thing you know, Danger Zone's a good song again.
Highway to... That's true.
Yeah, they put Top Gun on Netflix, and everybody's back buying, what was his name?
Kenny Loggins.
Kenny Loggins music.
There you go.
All right.
Speaking of nowadays, early 2020, Randy Ray releases Precious Memories, Hymns and Gospel Favorites.
Going back to the gospel.
It's a live recording from the 2003 performance of Randy Ray recorded at the Calvary Assembly of God Church in Orlando, Florida.
I bet that's a big church.
It's got 12 songs on it. It was recorded before he had a stroke.
Of course.
I didn't know why I put that in there. He's recorded 20 studio albums, charted more than 50 singles on the Billboard Hot Country charts, including 16 that reached number one. He's considered a pivotal figure in the history of country music. Got a quote from Randy Ray, Randy Travis himself. Quote, you know, I think you have to sound right singing whatever it is that you sing. Randy Travis, ladies and gentlemen.
Buttons are so hard.
You wanted your
rim shot, yeah.
There you go. What'd you think of Randy Travis?
He was a docile old man. He didn't do too many bad things. Sounds like he was a little bit of a rabble-rouser when he's young.
Just when he's drinking, he's probably got some issues. But otherwise, just a nice country boy. Just
I did like the way he transitioned to gospel. I think that was...
Good play. That was a good play.
That was very... I'll think of the word later.
That was
graceful. There it is.
Hey!
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Very graceful.
It was. Grace in the religious movement. That's yeah. new. So you like that he didn't, like, there was no spiral down. They're like, oh, that sucks.
He didn't diddle any little kids. He didn't hit he didn't hit his wife.
That's your minimum requirement, is not diddling kids or domestic abuse.
I honestly
appreciate that.
Honestly, I think there's a lot of situations where I wouldn't hate somebody as much for killing somebody, like shooting somebody, as I would for diddling little kids.
I get that. Yep.
I mean, if you're shooting somebody, a lot of times you got a good reason. I mean, it may not be right to do, but, you know, they got a beef with you or
yeah,
whatever.
Something led up to it.
Well, you're diddling kids, and you know, I don't like
that. Don't do that.
Oh, yeah. And hitting your woman.
Don't do that.
No. There's not to say that. Yeah, just don't do it.
Don't do that.
Just don't.
Well, since we have avoided domestic abuse, that brings us to another end, close of another crime in music. And so if you guys are so inclined, go to iTunes and leave us a review if you would. I would really like it if someone would leave a
7-star review.
Oh, a 7-star review. I was just going to say some emojis, like, you know, see if we can decipher. It's ice cream. It's chocolate ice cream, okay? Everybody knows that.
There's a whole entire world of emoji meanings that the kids got.
Oh, yeah.
It's like some, you got to have a cipher to figure it out.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. There's stuff.
Cherry, water droplet.
Oh, there's, nah, it goes
horseback
way
rider.
Deeper than that.
Second place medal. I don't even know what I'm saying.
All right, good show.
I like it.
Great
it was
show.
Good to see you. I'm
second
glad.
One back in the, I'm second one back
so
in
pumped.
The
So pumped. Guys,
studio.
We are going to be back here for more episodes. We're actually going to go out in the field. We got the pontoon cast coming up this summer. I swear to you that's going to happen.
Hey, you got to take a picture of the studio and put it on the internet.
I will. I'll
put
let people know.
Put the headphones back up on your little headphone hanger dealio. Take a nice little shot.
We got
shot.
That. Do you want to take your name with you? I got copies. You can have your name.
No, you might need that for more headphones.
All right. There you go. More headphones. All right, everybody. Please reach out to us. Leave us a speak pipe. Go to crimeandmusic.com and hit the button there. Leave a little recording so Ben and I can hear your lovely voices. And you listen to us. We want to listen to you. So hit us up on the social medias, Crime and Music, anywhere you do social media. Other than that, it would help us out greatly if you would share with your friends. Be like, hey, check these guys out. I like it. You might like it, too. Since
hey,
I said that.
The speak pipe. Just go to our website. Hit one button and say dumb things.
Start talking. That's what we do.
Speak pipe.
So on that note, we'll see you next time. And words of wisdom I picked up a long time ago from, I don't know who wrote it down. It was in an old book. And it said, never trust a big butt and a smile.
Right.